So I'm very pleased to be joined by Hannah White, the co-founder and strategic director at The Sound Lounge. Thank you very much for coming in today. It's a real pleasure to have you here. So take me back to the very beginning. How did this all start? What are your earliest memories of not just The Sound Lounge, but music? Is this something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, I mean, this is really personal. So The Sound Lounge is a grassroots music venue. It's existed around South London, in different parts of South London, for maybe 15 years, something around 15 years. So it's something I run with my husband, who's a guitarist. I'm a musician. And we've both, from backgrounds where there's been, you know, very working class backgrounds, we've both brought up in council estates in various parts of South London. And there's been, you know, we've known struggles in different ways. But yeah, music has very much been, for both of us, a way out, and a route into community, a route into a life that's constructive and positive. And you know, it's given us resilience, and it's given us so, so much. And we basically started running it as a project that was just, how do we create something that we'd want, like that we'd love and we want to enjoy, and a place that we'd want to play in, and with audience that we'd want to play to. So it was just about, it's as personal as that, really. It's, yeah.
And you mentioned that you moved around South London with it a bit, and you ended up settling in Sutton during COVID, I believe. Why do you think Sutton is such a good location for a music venue?
Well, to be honest, I think everywhere is a good location for a music venue.
That's fair. That's fair enough.
But no, Sutton's brilliant. When we moved to Sutton because we'd had a venue in Tooting. It closed. There were developers. It's the whole story. And we moved personally to Sutton. And we were, at the time, we were just exhausted and heartbroken. And we were just like, we're never doing this again. And then after a few months, we're kind of itching, like, actually, we need to do this again, don't we? So we got in touch with Sutton Council, and the rest is a little bit history. But people did say to us, what are you doing this in Sutton? Like, that's a terrible idea. There's no one here to... But we knew there would be people. There are people everywhere who love music. Music is the most connecting thing. And just as soon as we opened, like, people came from corners of Sutton, but people who would be commuting normally for their cultural experiences, they don't have to do that anymore. They've got it on their doorstep. So it's buzzing. It's busy. There's a lot of people locally who really enjoy it on a regular basis. So it's been brilliant.
And this may be a little bit of bias coming in, because I am originally from Sutton, but were you surprised by the sort of community that has been built in Sutton over the years? Obviously, you experiencing that firsthand with the Sound Lounge, especially since Sutton was seen as a little bit of a boring area before.
Yeah. I'm kind of not surprised by it anymore, because we've been doing it since we started. Our first venue was in Merton Abbey Mills, and we just kind of experienced firsthand how music and just being around and caring builds community. It's an amazing, really powerful thing. And by community, I mean just like a whole ecosystem of people with different skills and different agendas, really, but they kind of support each other. Me and Kieran get a lot of credit for what the Sound Lounge does, but it's actually a massive community of people who step in, make things happen, and step up when we need them, and in different capacities. Some of them are really, really involved, some of them more peripherally, but they're all there, and it's all part of a really important flow of giving, and it's amazing.
And on the back of that question, we've spoken a lot about the music so far, and obviously you've got a festival coming up soon, haven't you?
Yeah, so we, as well as running at events in the venue, which we do between three and seven nights a week, we're running a folk festival. So that is every year we do this. It's called Folk in the Park, and this year the headliners are Richard Thompson and Eddie Reader, from Fairground Attraction, Tom Robinson Band. We've got Thea Gilmore. We've got loads of brilliant, a whole day of brilliant artists. It's taking place in a park in Sutton, in the middle of Sutton. So these massive international icons are coming to Sutton, to our little park, it's going to be brilliant. Yeah, so it's next Saturday. You can still get tickets at folkinthepark.com. It's completely independent. We're not funded by anyone. Again, it's massive. We've got like 100 volunteers helping us. It's a really brilliant music fan, music lover day to be involved with. And there's loads of free kids activities and stuff as well. It's going to be great.
That's given me so much hometown pride. Wow. But aside from the music, what else happens at the Sound Lounge? I know that you're sort of both a music venue and a vegan restaurant, and you have other events going on during calendar.
I think just because of our backgrounds and like there's always been for us more a bigger agenda to just, you know, give and make a difference basically. So we run a community kitchen once a week, which is like pay what you can afford. Loads of people who come who can't afford anything and who will just come and have a nutritious meal. It's all organic, it's all home cooked, it's good food, and it's not, you know, bitter lentils or anything. It's good grub that people want to eat, and we get families coming in. And so that's once a week we do that. We do friendship coffees for people who are isolated, so they can come in, have a free hot drink and a hangout. So it's just, you know, again, like just getting people out and talking to each other. And we do craft groups, host craft groups. We host youth music sessions. We do, cooking workshops. We do free sound engineering training for local people. A lot of young people, a lot of women now coming forward who want to learn about sound. So that's really exciting. And we do drop-in sessions, which are just about, like, if you want to do stuff at home, then you can do stuff at home. But there are people who are interested in making careers out of it, and there are careers to be had, and they can start at the Sound Lounge. And we've had people who've, you know, come from nothing to being paid engineers at our venue. So there's a real pathway there. We do like free music groups for music sessions for preschoolers and their carers. So there's a lot going on. Yeah.
And on top of that, how successful has the Sound Lounge been, both commercially and with regards to numbers in attendance as well, not just for the activities but also for the evenings?
I mean, the evenings are really buzzy, they're great. We get the numbers are growing, actually. There's, you know, we're a struggling grassroots music venue, and we're always banging on about how hard it is, and people do get confused because it is like we put on brilliant gigs. We've got nights between 3 and 7 nights a week. We've literally every year hundreds of gigs featuring hundreds of bands and artists. We have thousands of people, like over 8,000 audience members. That's not including the free music events we put on, which we do a lot of to make sure everyone can access the live music. But so that's a lot of impact. We know that it's successful on that front. However, putting on live music is just really expensive. You've got to pay for bookers, you've got to pay for promo, you've got like all the logistics, the engineers, the equipment, the maintenance. It's, you know, we get ticket money in that goes straight out to the artists. It pays for infrastructure, there's expensive licenses. It's really, really costly. So we're just always on the back foot. We need people in the bar, and we need the bar to be making a decent amount of money to subsidise what we're doing, like music-wise. But people drink less than they used to. There's a whole culture change, and people shouldn't have to drink in order to enjoy live music. We don't want to push that. We're also family friendly, so we get a lot of families in the evening, and it's not a drinky atmosphere as such. But so it's just, we're just on the back foot. It's not enough, but we're part of a wider national campaign to try and get, you know, arenas and stadiums, which are millions of pounds in profit every year in this country, so much so they're building like 7 new ones. But you know, there's no that, and they're making money out of artists who've started off in venues like ours. So we, you know, we're the A&R department for this massive profit making industry, and there's a campaign at the moment happening to try and get a £1 levy from each ticket sold at stadium level to get invested into the grassroots to support and, you know, make sure that infrastructure isn't lost, because we're losing venues at a rate of 2 a week in this country, which is really sad.
Yeah, and do you think there is a world in the future where there is a sustainable future for small venues such as yourself? Can you see that happening?
I can, but there has to be change. It can't, there's, you know, all the venue, or every single venue in this country is struggling, every single one, and below 300 capacity. So, there has to be change. We need a levy. We need support. The football industry does it. The Premier League, they've got a levy that supports the grassroots. You know, in other countries they do it. In France, across Europe, they do it. And they've got a really healthy, stable, you know, grassroots sector. We need to do it in this country. It's not just about the levy. There's, you know, business rates relief, you know, VAT relief. There's so much. We're penalised so much for what we're doing. And just a little bit of infrastructural support will make a massive, massive difference.
And finally, what can paying customers do to support the Sound Lounge or people within the community? Have they been helping, and what more can we do?
Oh, that's a really kind question. People have been amazing, and we've got a great following online and, you know, in the building and online. And we've just set up a crowdfunding prize draw. So it's not the traditional crowdfunder. We've got loads of amazing prizes, including a tour of British Grove Studios, which is Mark Knopfler's studio. It's really exclusive. And a member of Dire Straits, Guy Fletcher, will be taking someone around an exclusive tour. So that's amazing. We've got recording sessions at the Sound Lounge. We've got free tickets for a year for the Sound Lounge gigs. We've got a box set, In Excess signed box set. Again, there's only a few of them around in the world, and they're retailing for £400, and we've got, you know, one to give away. There's a retreat, songwriting retreat as a prize that's worth £600 in Folkestone, with hotel and bread and breakfast, and, you know, it's all wonderful. So there's loads of really nice prizes, and you can join for a fiver for a ticket if you look on our social media pages, which is Sound Lounge CIC. You can see link to the crowdfunding prize draw, and every little penny just helps to keep our doors open and keeps us going.
Well, best of luck to you, Hannah. This all sounds incredible. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That was Hannah White speaking to Radio Jackie News.